Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey Cobbers, from the land down under. This is the Cricket Badger Big Bash Daily Podcast. Whether you're with the Strikers, the Stars or the Sixers, you might be a renegade, enjoy the heat, love the thunder, like a scorcher or prefer hurricanes. Brought to you in association with bluecrocodile.co.uk. Tie your kangaroo down, put another shrimp on the barbie and enjoy the fun. It's gonna be a ripper. Big Bash 10.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along. It's another edition of the Big Bash Daily. I'm James, the Cricket Badger. Thank you very much indeed to bluecrocodile.co.uk for their continued support of these Big Bash Dailies. Snapping up the right mortgages for you. Give them a follow on Twitter at bluecrocmoney. We're talking about Big Bash today. We're talking about Hobart Hurricanes. They're strolling across the finish line as we speak against the Sydney Thunder. We'll talk about that. Also going to talk a little bit about the World Test Championship. Test cricket, obviously, very much on the radar this week. Been a terrific week for five-day red ball cricket. And we'll talk a little about the relevance of the World Test Championship, or not, as the case may be. Joined today by two of the stalwarts of these Big Bash Daily Pods, it's Ollie Prendergast and Naman Shah. And Ollie, how about Hurricanes? It's been a walk in the park, really. That partnership by David Milan and Ben McDermott has really seen them, well, not across the line, but really right, very close to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the most comfortable chase I've seen of a total like this in the Big Bash, probably this year. So if they do get across the line, a little stumble at the moment, but presuming they do, they've absolutely screamed it. It's cruised it, really. It's just so many sixes, so many boundaries, well-paced, and they were aggressive. They took the power play after the 10th over, which was really interesting and good to see. And they didn't have the best of starts in either inning. So, yeah, really good result for them, really.
You got a feel for Ben McDermott, the man, haven't you? He got 96, 56 balls. Started off a little bit scratchy, but he really did hit his straps. Enormous sixes in that one. He was hitting them in Canberra. I was looking out of my window in England to see if the ball was bouncing down my street because they were going that far. When he hits the ball, it stays.
Looking away in India.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, out for 96 though now, man. He deserved a ton today, didn't he?
Yes, sir. This is the second time he has missed a century. I guess previously he got out on 95, but after 13 for 2 and winning this convincingly, the chase has been just brilliant and sound coming off the bat of McDermott, and I feel that he prefers that mid-wicket area, and he has been exceptional. He, especially that 6 of McAndrew was just too good to watch. I already watched it 10 times. So he has been exceptional today. But I feel the game changer was that Boland, Zohar, Hales and Khwaja were cruising along. But that one over just changed completely the course of the match. 3 wickets in that over. And after that, Hobart has never looked back. And yes, they are completely winning this match single-handedly.
Yeah, that Boland over was massive, wasn't it? 3 wickets in one over. Pretty impressive stuff from him. As you mentioned, Ollie, they have had a little bit of a stumble, haven't they? And I'm just seeing on my screen, we've just seen Ben McDermott go to Sanger. And then Peter Hanscombe here, he's been quite lazy in this run. Direct hit. And it's one of those, again, where there's 2 frames. There's one where his bat's on the line just before the bails go. The next one, his bat's well in when the bails are well off. And there's no frame in between to actually prove or disprove whether he's run out or not.
He should be given out just for the lackadaisical attitude that he had right in between the wickets. That was criminal. And you're right. it's one of those ones where it could have gone either way. And unfortunately, it's one that goes the batsman's way when it shouldn't really, just not quite the clarity in the pictures and the evidence to follow through on it. Quickly about another thing, can I just mention, if Ben McDermott's innings, that's twice now he's done that. That's clearly jug avoidance for him, with him not wanting to buy the rest of the team some drinks after the game for getting 100.
Well, I'd imagine if he's on bonus money, he might get extra cash for 100. So it might work both ways. He played really nicely today. 11 off 19, though. How about Hurricanes need at the moment? 167 for four they are, as that next ball is deposited across the mid-wicket boundary. And that basically seals it, doesn't it? Any jitters they were having towards the end of this chase, it's now 5 off 18. And with wickets in hand, teams just don't lose from that kind of situation. Let's have a run through the scorecard today. As Naman was suggesting, the early part of the show today, Sydney Thunder look as if they were going to romp to an enormous score with their opening partnership, which has been very successful in this tournament. Usman Khawaja made 27 from 22, 29 from 23 for Alex Hales as well. And when those two were in, they added 64 for the first wicket. But that 64 suddenly became 66 for three when Hales, Davis and Khawaja were dismissed by Bolland at the top end of the order. We saw Sam Billings come in and get 50. They delayed their power play until they got a couple of batsmen in. Lost Billings in the power surge, but made 177 for five. Competitive score in this big bash. 4 for 41, Scott Boland ended up with that 3 wickets in one over. And then a couple of early wickets, Will Jackson, Darcy Short, who have been out of form in this tournament, went early. But Ben McDermott, 96, David Milan, 42. They formed a massive partnership, have taken Hobart Hurricanes to the brink of victory. Hobart Hurricanes win this game. They're currently in seventh. Obviously, the top five in the ladder qualify for the playoff places. So the pressure's on the Hobart Hurricanes to get the wins. But if they win today, the kind of nature of this table, it's really interesting because it's so cramped in the middle. 4 points today because they've taken the Big Bash point as well. Big Bash boost point even. They go to 23, which takes them to level second with the Sydney Thunder and the Melbourne Stars. So it really is changing every single game, this table. This Big Bash, there are Melbourne Renegades out of the equation. Sydney Sixers are pretty much through to the playoffs. There are six other teams vying for four of the places, Ollie. And it's quite interesting, isn't it, with three or four games to play each?
How good is it? This is how you want the end of any competition, with lots of head-to-heads that come up. So you've got effectively two games between the Scorchers and the Heat, which are going to be a knockout. And though in this tournament, they'll win one each to make it to the last game, to make it even more complicated for the mathematicians. There's so much riding on every game. I think there's about 9 million outcomes that could possibly happen and combination results. And knowing it, the most complicated ones will come up. And I think, again, for me, how good is this for the competition? It keeps the interest going. There's five going through. And this is what we all wanted early on. We thought, worried that there was going to be a breakaway of four teams, definitely at the start. And that hasn't happened. And everything's joined back up and concertinaed. And it's looking really, really interesting now.
Well, Sydney Sixers just done some maths there. Sydney Sixers just need 1 point to guarantee themselves a playoff berth. Obviously, they'll want much more than that to try and get themselves through in the first or second position, looking very likely that they will be one of the top two. Defeat for the Sydney Thunder kind of takes them back towards the pack now, man, doesn't it? They were starting to kind of go clear with their fellow Sydney side, but no points from this game. Now played 11, 3 games left for the Thunder, and the other guys are starting to play catch-up and chasing on their tails now. So there is no guarantee, is there?
Not at all. That is why going into the business end, each game is going to be important. And the other thing which everyone needs to notice is all the star players are going to come after once this test match is over. Matthew Wade is going to return for Hobart, and also I feel Team Payne will be straight back into the 11, and also for Adelaide I feel Travis Head. So all the star players are going to come. So for Thunders, it's very unlikely like any star is outside, but the other teams are going to get stronger going into the business. And today's game was important for Thunder. So if they could have won, they would have set on 27 points. But yes, as we have mentioned, that the more focus is on Hales and Khawaja. Apart from that, yes, Billings has been a bit of consistent, but Daniel Sams has performed in and out. But other players needs to jump in. Olive Davis has been only good in one or two matches. They need a good new ball bowler. And apart from Tanvir Sangha, nobody is looking that threatening.
Ollie Davis is interesting, isn't he? Ollie, fellow Ollie. he came in, made a really big impact early on. Just 19, 20 years old, obviously former Australian under 19 player, can hit the ball a long way. Took 30 off one over, didn't he, in one of the games that he played earlier on in the tournament. But has had a pretty poor run, was dropped by the Hurricanes in the last game, came back in today at number three, got a first baller. And he's one of those players that you can certainly see a massive amount of potential in. He's got pretty much everything, hasn't he? Don't just kind of discard him and let him flounder, but keep him in that side and hope that he comes good.
I thought it was interesting. I think it's nice. Bondi and Kawada obviously had a discussion and they want him to get exposure and they obviously are backing him. So he came in at number three today. You know, when he lucks out, he got a snorter of ball that caught the outside edge of that ball from Boland and was taken behind. But he has so much potential, so much talent. It reminds me a little bit of Tom Banton in some ways. Not obviously the way they play, but the potential and the ability they have to score quickly and hit a big ball and change games and how much potential they have. And they're so young, they're developing, they're going to have these patches. I was pleased with the way that the Thunder approached today by giving him an opportunity to go at three. It didn't work. It didn't cost him too much. There's only one ball. And he could have got that batten down at six and it made him feel worse. I think they're managing him well. He just needs opportunity and he is in a rough trot at the moment. He's in a run of form that only someone sort of like Will Jacks could really rival after having a bad day. So I think both those have got a lot of talent and I think Davis has got a big future, definitely.
In changing times like these, make a change yourself. Buy your own home. Still living with parents or renting? Why not buy your first property? Mortgage rates are lower than ever. Speak to Blue Crocodile.
Blue Crocodile?
Yeah, Blue Crocodile. They'll get you the right first-time buyer deal by searching the market for the most competitive option for you. They don't bite. They're just straight-talking people like me. Give them a bell or go online. Blue Crocodile.
You know, Ollie Davis, he's having a bit of a poor run, but you can't be in a better position, can you? You've got good coaches around you. You're playing with good players against good players. Even if this isn't your big bash, the same with Will Jacks from England, the same with plenty of other players in this tournament that maybe not having the big bash that they're hoping for, the youngsters. But it's a learning curve, isn't it? That, you know, they'll take it away, hopefully learn from it. And the good ones, the ones with a bit of, you know, brain between their ears, will come back, use it and come back stronger.
Yes, absolutely, James. You are bang on. Such leagues are made up for this. It's not only about winning. I always feel that such leagues are made up for the youngsters, especially you see in IPL, who gets, nobody knew who Natarajan was, nobody knew who Priyam Garg was, and nobody knew who Olive Davis was. But today, he is sitting in the dugout with star players and getting experience of playing in such a huge crowd. This is just totally exceptional and a dream moment for such youngsters. And these players are only going to come stronger. We saw what we are already seeing, what Ben McDermott is doing in this year's Big Bash League. Last year, I feel around from 10 to 12 matches, he was run out in around 6 to 7 matches and he failed completely. But we are seeing a completely different player. He also played a test warm-up against India. So, yes, these players are going to learn and they are only going to come back stronger and they'll take a lot of experience.
Yeah, I mean, and if you don't learn, if you haven't got it between the ears and you don't learn from these experiences, then you've probably not got what it takes to make a massive career for yourself anyway. The good ones will go away, tinker, have a think about it, watch replays and come back better in BBL 11. Get obsessed, Ollie, with the fact that youngsters are coming through. I mean, we were always obviously excited by youngsters because we want to be the first ones to watch them and want to kind of see if they're going to be any good or not. But generally speaking, these tournaments, it's the older brigade that are the consistent performers when it's not quite going for them. They're still contributing. Whereas some of the youngsters, as we mentioned, Ollie Davis, it's either hit or bust. Some of the more experienced guys like Ben Cutting, Dan Christian, etc., have a more consistent lower level, don't they?
Yeah, it's interesting because when everyone thought T20 had, when it started, everyone thought it was going to be the end of the older, more experienced players and it was all going to be crash, bang, wallop, young players. And actually, it's probably turned to the opposite. You can extend your career and through injuries and it's less impact and use your experience to much greater effect probably in these pressure situations which they cook up every game. And you're right, Ben Cutting and Dan Christian are two great examples of this. And Dan Christian just seems to know what to do in every situation, whether it be bat or ball, and he just seems to get it done. And it's that experience, knowing your own game and having that confidence to go back to the well and just deliver time after time in those big situations. And again, you see it with a lot of the West Indian players who play in the IPL. They're older, more experienced, played a a lot of this cricket, they know their game and they know what when to execute certain skills at the right time. But and that's something which, given these younger players, the exposure now will stand them in good stead when they get older. But actually, it's the older players who seem to get the results and get things done and win you more games than not.
BlueCrocodile.co.uk. Sort your mortgage in a snap. Are you a first-time buyer with your eyes on that dream house? Are you wanting to move or looking for a better mortgage deal? Let Blue Crocodile find the right mortgage for you. 10% deposit mortgages are returning. If you need to know how much you can afford to borrow, just visit bluecrocodile.co.uk. The Hobart Hurricanes then win their game today against the Sydney Thunder by 6 wickets. They had 2 overs to spare up their sleeve. And we'll look now for the bluecrocodile.co.uk cricketer of today's match. That win takes the Hobart Hurricanes up to 4th place in the ladder, but level on points with the Thunder and the Melbourne Stars, with the Sydney Sixers still leading the way at the top of the table. Perth Scorchers are in 5th. Brisbane Heat, Adelaide Strikers and the Melbourne Renegades, possibly not the Melbourne Renegades, are playing catch-up, trying to get into that top 5 after 14 games when it really matters to extend their tournament. Ollie, we'll start with you, though. Your nomination for our bluecrocodile.co.uk cricketer of today's match.
Batting-wise, I'd say the standout for the Thunder was Billings. He batted really well, just got out at a crucial time, and he seemed to be one of the few players that was able to time the ball consistently. But where we're going to go is quite obvious for me today. Even though you overruled me yesterday, I'll go with McDermott today, and hopefully you'll back me on that.
You're not bitter, are you, Ollie? You're not bitter.
Oh, hugely am about it. I couldn't sleep due to it.
Well, you spent most of the podcast and you didn't need any sleep. So what's the matter? Nah, man, how about you? I mean, it's got to be Ben McDermott today, hasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. It was a terrific innings. Sad he couldn't reach his century again, missing out in the 90s. But it was just a brilliant hitting and hitting all over the parks, and a comfortable win for Hobart. Brilliant innings by McDermott.
Enough said, I think, from both of you. Ben McDermott is very worthy winner of our bluecrocodile.co.uk cricketer of today's match. A fantastic 96 from 56, 8 fours, 5 sixes, and he is our award winner today. Oh. Mortgages are simpler than you think when you have a crocodile on your side. Blue Crocodile, making mortgages snappy and simple. Visit bluecrocodile.co.uk, follow them on Twitter at Blue Croc Money, or find them on Facebook, Blue Crocodile. Right then, we talked about Test match cricket yesterday. We've seen England win this morning. I got up for about 40 minutes, did my job, and then went back to bed again, watched them knock them off. No real alarms for England this morning. It was good from Bairstow and Lawrence. We've seen that the Gabba as well, that game has moved on. Rain kind of affected towards the end of it, but in a way, that's actually made it a little bit more interesting going into the final day, with India needing 328 to win that one. Currently 4 for no loss overnight, with a little bit of rain forecast for the Gabba tomorrow as well. But what I wanted to talk to you two about today, the World Test Championship. It's obviously been brought in by the ICC. I think the motives are very good indeed, to try and give Test cricket more of a context, more relevance. Every game matters, etc. And avoid kind of dead rubbers in long series where a team goes 3-0 up in a 5-match series and the last 2 don't matter. But with the World Test Championship, they do, because you can get points for winning Test matches 4 and 5. Obviously, COVID's played a part in this, but I'm not totally convinced by the structure at the moment. And the one thing I've been thinking overnight is that, obviously, with Australia and India, been a superb series in Australia, 4 test match series, 1-1 going into test match number 4, still finely balanced. We want them to be fighting for World Test Championship points. We want every day 5 to matter. This day 5 matters anyway. This is 2 teams going at it hammer and tongs, and very proudly trying to win or draw to secure their legacy in the game, because it's that kind of iconic series. The World Test Championship is sort of very much peripheral, but you could get a situation where Australia maybe just put a batten down the hatches to save the draw points for the World Test Championship, and it ends up ruining the series, what could be a great final day.
It's possibly the hardest thing to fit into schedule into the World the tournament. You're right about it could delay that, and COVID has had a huge part to play, because we don't know if Australia have got it in their own hands or whether they're going to get that tour to South Africa in, you know, and India know that if they were close, they might do the same. They might just take the draw, and knowing that they've probably got enough to beat England in a series at home and qualify for the final. I think the bigger picture for me regarding the World Test Championship, and I discuss this with my best mate Sam all the time, and it bores him about it, but he agrees, but he tells me to go on about it, as I do about most things. But we think that the best structure would be, and to get inclusive, to get all the teams in it, maybe the best to have a divisional system where it's played where six teams are in the top division, six teams are in the bottom. You have a World Test Championship for the top one, and you have a playoff or promotion relegation from the divisions. And that would give teams more to play for. And actually, if you manage to get into the top six, you may get a better share of the revenue going round. So an impetus to improve your test side. And it also gives those other teams that are new to the game a new way into it. But that may be hamstrung by different reasons. But and also, I think it would be, if you only play teams in your division, you would have better, longer series, and teams would take preparation for series more important because there'd be more riding on it. And also,
what will happen though? That'll get vetoed because there is potential in that for England, India, and Australia never to meet each other. If one of them has a ropey 2 years and ends up in the second division, you're losing the Ashes, aren't you?
Oh, well, you could play it, but it'll be outside of the tournament window. Yes, that potential could do. But also, I think, if that's the way, cricket won't develop, that's a bigger question to ask about the dominance of the big three on the game and what's happening. But at the moment, it doesn't give much impetus or incentive for teams that are lower down who haven't struggled with their test sides at the moment to improve. And they'll probably concentrate on white ball where there is more revenue coming back in. Whereas if you give them the enticement of saying, you'll get a bigger share if you qualify the top six, that may improve that, and it might make first class cricket around the world improve as well, because people would invest more back into their structure knowing they're going to get more back from that investment. But it's such a wide question. I mean, I would like to see it that way because it would have a better format and probably be able to fit it in a 2 to 3 year window. But at the moment, it's so haphazard and hard to fit in, and teams playing 2 match series, teams playing 5 match series, it doesn't seem to have much structure around it, which it does need to be addressed.
I mean, I totally agree with the sentiment behind what you say, and I totally agree with the sentiment behind the World Test Championship, but it's a complicated thing, isn't it? Because there's so many different factors in this. One of them is the point system, which is faulty at the moment. I don't think anybody really believes in that point system, because it doesn't necessarily reward the better team properly over a longer series. You can play a 2 match series and get the same amount of points as playing a really hard 5 match series, can't you? So despite the motives and the good motives, it's very hard to actually get a World Test Championship structure that actually suits everybody now, man. And the one thing that comes out of what Ollie said, another thing I was thinking about overnight, is the only people I see at the moment talking about the World Test Championship are New Zealanders, Indians and Australians. I don't see any Pakistanis talking about it. I don't see anybody in the West Indies talking about it, because it's not relevant to them anymore because they're out of it. So in terms of making the test matches relevant for those guys, they're no more relevant now than they were before, are they?
Also feel that it is important for them to realise how important test cricket, the Red Bull cricket is. Yes, it might not be relevant for teams like West Indies and Pakistan and Sri Lanka because they are staying down in the bottom, but also they need to realize that Afghanistan, Ireland, all these teams have acquired the test match status. So right now it is not irrelevant, but once these teams, Afghanistan with such high class spinners, and Ireland with they competed well against England when they playing test cricket in England itself. So once these teams start playing more test cricket, and once they qualify for the next championship table, that is the time when they will be maybe regretting that right now they are not part of this championship. So it is important. Yes, as you have correctly mentioned, that only India, New Zealand, all these countries are right now talking about this championship table. These teams need to give it importance and realize how important Red Bull cricket is and start building their own team. Because
just to cut in there, Naman, does the World Test Championship actually do that though? I mean, I know everybody wants test cricket to be important and everybody wants to see these countries taking it seriously. I think to a degree they are doing in their own ways, but does the World Test Championship create that, or just is it just test cricket that creates that?
To be honest, I feel that World Championship table is creating it slowly, because right now we are feeling that India, New Zealand and all are mostly talking about, because in last 2 years we have not seen those many test matches of Bangladesh or maybe Sri Lanka or maybe West Indies in a very concurrent month. These are the teams playing more major test matches. I feel Bangladesh hasn't played any test cricket in last 1.5-2 years. So I feel they need to, once they start playing more of red ball cricket and not white ball, so they will be also speaking about it more. It's just that the championship table, this test match cricket, is not a consecutive month, and we do not see test cricket in like 3 to 4 months continuously. That is why that particular phase of absent test match cricket makes all these teams out of this scenario, these teams would like to be part of those finals playing, which will be getting played in Lords. So we are not seeing it right now, but I feel one day we will see this teams coming stronger and Test Cricket World Championship table will matter.
I think that's the final point Naman makes there is key to this, Ollie. They brought the World Test Championship, not their fault. It's a very dodgy time in world mm-hmm. the world situation, haven't they? COVID's wrecked a lot of tours. It's wrecked a lot of schedules. And it's the sort of format, isn't it, that it obviously needs tinkering with. We've kind of hinted at the points being a little bit weird. It needs to kind of bed in, doesn't it? And we need to see probably several cycles of it and the excitement that the winners get from it and the disappointment the losers get, etc., for it to really start to gain some momentum. You can't just invent something new and expect it to catch fire, can you?
No. If you look at it's taken 40 years really for one day cricket to really catch fire around the world and be popular as a World Cup and be its own thing. But I think...
I'd go against that because, I mean, they've been playing World Cup finals since 1979 and they've all been well attended and well watched.
But not with the global presence it has now. I talk about that, as in England. England for a long time, and I use that as an example, treated it as almost an additional add-on that was to a summer where Test match was always the priority. And over time, that's happened. And probably over the first 40 years when it came in 70 or 71, it's taken probably till about 2010 to probably overtake it for some countries, to overtake Test cricket as a priority that become white ball countries. And that was before the real growth of T20 international cricket. So that's how I meant that intended. Going back to World Test, as a World Test Championship, it's too difficult for some teams to make the final. So it's a long time of playing bilateral series that mean very little in the course of a tournament. What is a competition or a tournament when you haven't got much chance of qualifying?
Don't you think as well that the kind of likely candidates to finish at the top of the table, which as we're seeing, the top four in the tournament at the moment in the World Test Championship standards, Australia, India, New Zealand and England. Well, that's the big three plus New Zealand.
Yeah.
All of those countries respect Test cricket to various degrees and all of them have massive support, which makes it pretty much every single Test match they play relevant anyway. Without the World Test Championship, it's the other nations that need the incentive, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. To make it relevant, and I think and to make it incentivised for them, with those teams investing a lot in there already, and if you're, for example, Bangladesh, who haven't toured India in about 10 years or haven't had India come and play, India haven't come to Bangladesh for 10 years, very hard to gain revenue from it and hard to invest into it. And that's why I think there needs to be a look at maybe a levelling system. And also, there's so many teams now. How can you play a relevant long enough series and have matches to warm up for it, which you'd want to do if it has such an impact on World Test Championship, to fit it in? And I think you're almost going to have to cut it down into different sections or have different groups almost, which may make it better, more apt and give teams the incentive to possibly qualify from it. Because at the moment, like you say, there's the big three that are probably going to be in the top six, plus New Zealand, and it probably South Africa and Pakistan. You could pick them out of this and that might be interchangeable with one or two other sides, but if you're Ireland or Zimbabwe, you've got no chance of breaking through. And I think in the end, you're just playing almost dead rubbers and bilateral series that happen to be in the World Test Championship without playing much part in it.
Cricket's a game played with balls. You've got to look after them in the field. Badges are furry creatures. My friends at manscaped.com help you make sure it's neat and tidy down there. Oh, get rid of all that excess fur. Make sure that you're neat and tidy. Make sure everything's in the right order. Oh, I'm feeling all good now down in my set. Oh, manscaped.com. Maximum skin safe performance, compact design, advanced engineering, ceramic blade, waterproof. And it doesn't end there. Show you care by caring for your pair. Cleansers, revivers, preservers. Simply go to manscaped.com, quote the discount code Badger. You get 20% off, you get free shipping, and you get some seriously quality equipment. Manscaped.com. Get on there now. Nah, man, it's your fault, isn't it? India, far too powerful, far too much money, dominate the decision-making process at the ICC. What your country wants, your country gets to a large degree. You want five test matches against Australia, you get them, etc., etc. That's where the money is, and you play against countries that recognise the fact that there's 1.6 billion people plus, and probably exactly the same amount worldwide that will tune into TV coverage and they can sell advertising for. When you've got countries with that much clout, and then you've got the West Indies and South Africa with far less clout, can you get something that's fair across the board to actually incentivize every single test playing nation?
To be honest, James, I wouldn't agree there. Yes, we are a powerful nation. Yes, everything is getting done as we are saying, but end of the day, the fight we are producing at every in all the three formats is also going to matter. It's not just that everything about money. You saw that India, the team right now which is playing in Australia, we are not having
I'm not talking about performances on the pitch. I'm talking about the administration and the decision making process off it.
Yes absolutely. This is connected to that, because you are seeing that Rahul Dravid is handling the young team. If we are comparing to other Asian teams, after Sangakkara has retired, after Jayawardene has retired, after all the Yusuf, Mohammad Yusuf and Yunis Khan, and these teams were not prepared for the replacement. They did not build the infrastructure. They were not ready for the second phase. So in all this transition, all these teams were not ready for the next phase, and that is why the competition is not up to the mark what we were seeing from Sri Lanka and Pakistan in the 90s. So India just, yes, we are powerful. Everything is about money. Infrastructure is good, but we always prepared for the future. These youngsters are ready to go out there, even 1 year match experience, 2 match experience.
But are you preparing for the world's future, or are you preparing for your future? Do you know what I mean? There's a difference there, isn't there?
Every country will look after their own infrastructure and their own sports.
Which is why if you've got two or three countries that are far more powerful than others, if everybody's looking after their own interests, it's going to be the powerful ones that thrive, isn't it?
So it's I won't agree to that. India provided the home ground structure for Afghanistan. India is helping them to get back into test cricket. Then now they have got the test status. So it's not that we are helping every country right now. And also it's a big IPL is a major league, and the quality of players we had seen right from the start. Watch Sean Marsh's career, how it took up to along with Thomas Batch in the first edition of IPL. So it's not only India is benefiting the quality of players produced after IPL. Look at Sunil Narayan. After IPL, he opened for West Indies as well. So many good players have been coming out of IPL. So yes, the money is invested. BCCI is good, but the end of the day, one country's quality players needs to come out to upbeat the competition level. To right now, we are only seeing, as you have correctly mentioned, India, Australia, New Zealand and England surviving in test cricket. But rest of the teams, when you saw Jack Ellis going out, when you saw ABD going out, they do not have any concurrent replacement, the same like-to-like replacement. So we are seeing the competition depleted. So
interesting you say that, Naman, but you know, somebody like ABD, I mean, we could talk about this for hours, but somebody like ABD thrives in IPL, but because he's getting the money from IPL, South Africa end up losing out on him, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I know he played for South Africa after that, but the players, you know, understandably go where the money goes. And the IPL benefits, but does South African cricket really benefit from that?
James, I think, first of all, what needs to happen is an equal share of TV revenue in bilateral series, because at the moment, the host nation takes all the money or very little shared around. And it's not fair that a team gives up their time to help you gain revenue when in fact, you're going to take everything from that and they're going to get very little back apart from probably, you know, defeats.
Yeah, we saw that when the West Indies came over this summer, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly. And I think this has to be shared out. So the big guy, like we say, so India have not toured Bangladesh in so long, and that's stopped Bangladesh from earning lots of money. That's got to stop. And there's got to be something done to help share the wealth of going around. So teams like South Africa, West Indies, Bangladesh, all the smaller ones can get a good cut of the pie. You wouldn't have a boxer who is a title holder take 100% of a purse, no matter what the result was. And it's got to happen, man. There's got to be a better sharing of it go around. And at the moment, it's not, and it's not fair. And it will strangle and potentially kill the game, because teams won't have enough money to invest in their red ball and first-class infrastructure, which Kumar Sangakkara touched on in Sri Lanka. It's got massive problems. There's not enough teams and it's not organised enough and there's no money in it. We need to help. You need to feed the game and you need to invest in it. for it to continue and grow and strive and make better performances. Otherwise, you're left with three teams and nobody wants that.
It's not in the interest of India, England or Australia, is it, to have all of the power in those nations and all of the good players in those nations and not be able to play the West Indies? You know, I grew up watching the West Indies dominate England. That wasn't necessarily always good fun to see. You know, some of the great teams of old, you know, it's quite disappointing to see the West Indies not being quite as strong as they used to be in Red Bull cricket. And it'd be nice to see the world shared around a little bit. We've agreed maybe now, man. You've argued your case nicely, though. So we've agreed it's not Indians' fault. So we'll just keep it as your fault, man. You're responsible for the travails of the World's Test Championship and everything else that's wrong with cricket. It's all down to Naman Shah. You can contact him at... And then I'll believe it. No, only joking. Thank you very much, guys, for joining me. We could talk about that for hours, couldn't we? Because that is a massive subject, and I'm sure we'll come back to that in the future as well. But Ollie and Naman, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you both.
Thank you very much, James, as always.
And thanks, everybody, for listlistening as well. Keep in touch with us on the @cricket_badger Twitter feed. Leave a nice like and subscribe and all the rest of it to stay in touch with the Cricket Badger podcast. And thank you to bluecrocodile.co.uk for their support of these Big Bash dailies. I've been James, the Cricket Badger. The Big Bash is bubbling up. We've got some cracking matches left as the ladder starts to take shape as the teams approach their 14 games. We'll cover all of that as we go through to the 6th of February, and we'll be back again tomorrow.
Big Bash 10. Thanks for listening. We'll bring you another edition of the Cricket Badger Big Bash Daily Podcast in association with bluecrocodile.co.uk tomorrow. See you then.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.